Don't we usually admire the wisdom of those who come to us for advice? We love their wisdom. And yet, next to God, we don't have much wisdom, do we? To represent, to share, or do we? In his wonderful, practical, and theological letter to Rome, it was Paul who wrote a beautiful statement I want on your hearts and minds right now for the next few minutes together. Oh, the depth, he wrote, of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's the God I serve. That's the God that I know in my heart this morning. A God, oh, that we just think about the depth of his wisdom, of his riches, his knowledge. It's unsearchable to understand God Almighty's judgments and wisdom. They're really, well, way past finding out. I mean, who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been his counselor, Isaiah would say. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For a few Sundays, we are painting a portrait of our Heavenly Father. Of course, from the Word of God. And in the process, I am drawing upon a few notes that I made about a relationship that I have and appreciated for a long time with my earthly father, who passed away last June. I remember sitting down and jotting in preparation for a tough memorial service, thinking about my dad and what he meant to me. You've been there. Some of you have been there before as well. And to write out some thoughts about what he was to me and my relationship with him as father. And jotting a few notes started me on a journey last summer of thinking about my heavenly father and all the depth of all that he is to us. Thank you, dear Father. I told you last Sunday a couple of illustrations of my dad as a strong disciplinarian and leader of the family. For just a moment, that's all. Let me describe my father also as I look back and think of ways that he was wise. I recall so well, it's a long time ago, but I recall the day that I learned to drive and I was behind the steering wheel and he was next to me and he made me very nervous, of course. And he told me what to do and I began on my own with him there with his instructions to guide me down the road on our street in Denver and how to drive. And I remember so well that I felt good about my progress. And then he let me take that old green Rambler. Do you remember that name at all? An old, really, and how did I know it was green? Everybody teased me about the ugly green Rambler that you're driving. And for a couple of years, I wore that thing out. And then, one day, when I was coming back from a date with a girl named Kathy, I turned at an intersection at the wrong place and time and dented the fender and got sick, of course, had an accident. Nobody else was really involved, just this other guy and me, but I felt really awful about it. Walked over to her house and tried to get some help before I had to face Dad, of course. And I remember when I got home and explained that we needed to go outside and look at something for a moment, that I pointed out this fender, and to my absolute astonishment, my dad did not scream at me or yell at me or say much of anything except this: fix it. That turned out to be pretty wise of my dad, because I don't know how to fix it. I had no idea how you get a fender for an old green Rambler. I learned, though, because we started going around to 3-4 different junkyards in Denver, those salvage places where there's just all kinds of bad-looking cars, and asking where there might be a pretty good fender for a green Rambler. And I, to your astonishment, fixed that thing. It didn't look good. I remember having to paint it and fix it and do the whole thing, and I've never done it again. But Dad was pretty wise, because I learned something about responsibility through that whole event. And then one day when I mentioned to him in passing, it must have been at dinner or something, about that I met a new girl at Thomas Jefferson High School, and she was really, you know, kind of cute and popular. He took me aside in wisdom and explained to me, I never will forget that. It takes more, Dave, to find the right woman than just somebody who's cute and maybe popular and stuff like that. Does she maybe know Jesus at all? Does she have a nice family? I thought about that later, and I thought about that when I got married to somebody who was cute and who knew Jesus and had a good family. Thanks, Dad, for your wisdom. But oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God. As I paint a portrait of my Heavenly Father this morning from the Word of God, it makes it clear that my Father is not only, as we explained last Sunday, a God of great majesty, power, and might, but my Father in heaven is a God of wisdom. Wisdom. What is it? Well, among other things, it is the ability to devise a perfect plan and to achieve those plans by the perfect means. It sees the end from the beginning, so there's no room for guesswork. Wisdom sees everything in focus, everything in proper relation to everything else, and thus able to work toward goals with flawless precision. Wouldn't that be nice? To have that kind of wisdom, that's the kind of wisdom my Heavenly Father has. All my Father's acts are done in perfect wisdom and for His own glory. All His acts are as pure as they are wise, as they are good. Not only could His acts not be done any better, but a better way to do them could never be imagined. And yet, think with me for a moment about some of my Father's acts through history. As you open up the pages of the Bible and learn and discover the unusual ways that God declared His wisdom. In spite of the fact that most people said, what? Do you remember in the book of Judges when we discover a story and read about a guy named Gideon? And among many, many wonderful stories of Gideon was a time when God met with him and said, you know what, we can beat that enemy. I got a better idea. Rather than thousands of your warriors, you don't need all those people. Gideon, choose 300 good ones. And we're going to go to battle tomorrow night, during the night, and don't bring any firearms with you. Bring your flashlight. Everybody bring a torch. Everybody show up in 300. Trust me, God said, we'll win. What? What is that all about? Do you remember a time in 1 Kings 17 when God instructed His prophet Isaiah to go, to Elijah to go and to be with a woman who had nothing left in the kitchen but a few scraps, and God told that poor widow to give everything to my servant that you've got in the kitchen. And she did. What kind of wisdom is that? Or you remember, of course you remember the plagues of Egypt, that time when God wanted his people to go and nobody would let them. And so to convince the Pharaoh, he had to work hard to bring about all these plagues that involved seasons and storms and animals and death and all this weird stuff that happened in Egypt. And what? What is the wisdom of God in all of that? And one I mentioned three Sundays ago was a time in the wilderness when God was sick and tired of his people murmuring and complaining and sent snakes to bite the people in the desert. You would not have wanted to be there, hon. I know you would not have been there. She would have been screaming. Hates that. And then remember the solution? God finally said, all right, Moses, you tell the people, get a snake and put it around a pole and hold it high up there in the center where, you know, wherever you are, you can see it. And those that look upon that pole will be healed. What? What kind of wisdom is that? What is God doing? What do we have to do that for? And yet, his own son Jesus in John used that as an illustration and said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And today that same weird picture is all over the hospital. That picture of healing. The American Medical Association, a pole with a snake on it, and people go, what? Is that have to do with healing and hospitals? And we don't understand God's wisdom. It seems so foolish to us. In each of those incidents and dozens more like them, God's acts appear so very, very strange. But on the contrary, the more ridiculous sounding the instrument of cure, the more vividly the power of God is seen and more clearly the wisdom of God, my Father, appears. And by the way, what about the cross? What kind of foolishness is that? The masterpiece of divine wisdom. But foolishness, the Bible says, to those who are perishing, wisdom to those who are being saved. And the world, in unison, cries out, what? How can we live through one who died? How can we be blessed eternally through one who's been made a curse and a victim? How can we be accepted through one who is condemned? Sounds ridiculous. But the center of Paul's message and God's message in the New Testament is that the cross is the wisest moment of all. The cross, I am not ashamed, Paul would write, of the gospel. That is, that Jesus was born, and then he died, and was buried, and rose again. The good news of the gospel, I am not ashamed of that, because you know what? That cross is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. The wisdom of my Heavenly Father is summed up in the cross. Listen to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Paul is writing and telling the folks that he loves so dearly. You know, I want you to know what kind of a struggle that I have on your behalf and all those really scattered abroad there in Laodicea and maybe many of the people who have never even personally seen my face. Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. It's a mystery. That is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's a mystery to us. It's a mystery to his children. My Heavenly Father's treasures of wisdom and knowledge wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess I don't have much of a problem with understanding that God is a God of infinite wisdom. that does all things right and well and perfect. Even when I don't get it and don't understand it, I guess I can understand that, you know what, I need to believe that. That's what his word teaches me. That's the portrait of my Father. He is majestic and he is all-knowing and he is always wise. But what about me? How can I understand even a portion of that kind of wisdom in my own life? Is it even possible for me to walk in wisdom each day? How can I apply that purposeful decision-making process with wisdom? The truth of God's word is very clear. You never lose if you choose to live wisely. You will always lose if you choose to live foolishly. Now, if that is true, and you know what? I know that's true. I believe that. Do you? And if the consequences are really that clear, why is it that a majority of people, including many Christians, and probably most of us in this room, do not pursue wisdom day after day with our whole heart? It's because walking in wisdom, as you have learned and I have learned, is difficult. It's hard. When you encounter a really tough time in your life, no matter what that event is all about, it could be a dozen different subjects, it doesn't matter, but when you're going through a tough time, it's easy to think that I'll know what to do ahead of time. I'll make a right and perfect decision then. But it is difficult because at the moment of that difficulty, that tragedy, that tough time, that issue, that whatever it is that I'm going through, it's difficult to see things clearly at all. I got to trust that my Heavenly Father knows what He's doing and He is there for me. When I am faced with temptation, I know it's wise to just say no and walk away. But that is really difficult when the temptation, whatever it is, seems kind of attractive at the moment. Otherwise, why is it a temptation? That's hard at the decision-making moment there to say, no, I will walk away. I will go a different direction. Most of us know that it is wise to tithe our income, to give God a portion of all that He's blessed us with. We know that, but it's difficult when there is overwhelming debt and financial stress. Most of us know that the right thing, the wise thing to do, is to forgive somebody who's wronged us. Still, I know, don't you, that it is difficult. It is difficult when there has been emotional, maybe physical, maybe material harm done. To ever forgive, much less forget, even though I know that's wise. It's not easy to walk in wisdom. My Heavenly Father is all about wisdom, but I am not. I need His help. I need His direction. Now, this is a really broad subject this morning, and I'd like to narrow it down to one issue that I believe most of us in this room struggle with and will struggle with again tomorrow morning, and that is knowing wisdom that's different from the world's wisdom. The world would say to us this week, you can perceive things best with your natural senses, and God says, no, you'll always do the wrong thing by your natural senses. No, no, you need something supernatural. And calls on us to walk day by day in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within me. The Holy Spirit enables me to discern what isn't spoken and sometimes isn't readily shown. The Holy Spirit gives me a heart sense so that a person has the ability to recognize truth from error and fact from fiction and right from wrong, regardless of the words that may be spoken or images that may be presented. The person who walks in my Father's godly wisdom has a sense of intuition provided by the Spirit of God who lives inside every one of us who know Christ. He lives in me. And I believe this morning that a person who functions out of my Father's great wisdom sees beyond what average human beings can see. Who really hears beyond what average human beings can hear. Who understands things beyond what average human beings can often understand. I can't begin to count the times I've heard godly men and women say or write, I started to take this action and then I had this little feeling that it should be something else, or I should make a different decision, or that wasn't right, or I need more information, or you know what that little feeling is in you as a believer? That's the Holy Spirit, who's alive and well in us, and teaching us and showing us and guiding us and saying to us, I have wisdom from your Father. I will give you the path that you should be on. And so those feelings are not just human. They are from my heavenly Father. Guarding me, guiding me, warning me, moving me to be in the center path for me to walk. Presence of the Holy Spirit expands a person's ability to perceive so that a person sees in the context of all eternity. The person who walks in godly wisdom does not make decisions on the basis of how things look on the surface at any given time. What we perceive is placed against the template of my heavenly Father's unbelievable wisdom. Oh, the depth of his knowledge and his wisdom. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways, well, seemingly tough to discover. Such wisdom, I believe, requires that I invite the Holy Spirit at some point in my life to enter my life, to come into my life. Oh, God, I want you, Father, and your Son, and your Holy Spirit to come and live within me and guide me and direct me so that I am filled every single day, every moment of that day by the Holy Spirit, and I'm leaning on the power of my Father in heaven. Is this kind of eternal wisdom from God available to me? Why, yes, it is. Read Psalm 8 or James 1 this week. Look those up in your moments of free time and read about what God says in Old and New Testament is the kind of wisdom that is available to you if you know Him. It comes down, I guess, to an issue in me of whether I'm going to really trust my Father and His wisdom or not. That He will lead me well, that He will lead me right through this Holy Spirit. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask for it. God wants to give you His wisdom. He's generous with it. Ask Him. I know my Father is wise. Oh, Father, I want to be wiser with wisdom in action. And so that when circumstances occur in my life, I will be just like you. They will throw me for a while. They will get me off track probably. And I will want to lean on Him and His wisdom to get me back on the path and be led as He wants me to. Dave, you can have the capacity for wisdom, so call on me for it. Every day. Every day is a test. A test of our finances, a test of our relationships, a test of our decision making. Here, God's desire in you and me is to see a growing ability in me to discern the best path each day. That's what He wants. So that I too will walk in wisdom through the daily filling of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you a challenge this morning as I challenge my own heart today, this week. As you think about God's great wisdom, I challenge you every day, maybe every morning, when we rise, offer a prayer to God and ask for His wisdom today. Holy Spirit, fill me so completely that You are guiding my decisions and You're leading me and showing me and warning me and helping me be more like You today. Today, just today. And then every day this week before we meet again next Sunday and talk about another brushstroke in our Father's portrait, we have prayed for wisdom each day. I know that there's need for wisdom in us. I know that. All of us here need God's wisdom. We're going to need it again this week. Tomorrow, you and I are going to need to know His wisdom. So, let's pray for it. My Father is wise. I want to be wiser. Thank You, Father in heaven, for Your wisdom. Help me through the Holy Spirit each day be so filled with You that I am growing in my discernment of how to be a wiser person. Every day. Every day. Pray that. We'll see how we're doing when we get here next week. Let's pray. Lord God, show us Your wisdom. Father, You have infinite knowledge and wisdom. Thank You. Lead us to the next few moments as we close to thinking seriously about what that should mean in my path this week. My dependence on Your Holy Spirit who lives in me, and I frankly tend to forget about, Father, I just forget about it. I try to do everything in my own strength first and fail. I need You, Lord Jesus. I need You, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need You today. Amen. Amen.